Morning, everyone. Thanks for tuning into today's Bible reading. I hope this message finds you and your families doing well. It's May the 12th today, and our readings will come from 1 Samuel chapters 12 and 13. We'll start John chapter 7, Psalm 108, and Proverbs chapter 15. We'll continue there as well. So those are our readings for today, but before we open our Bibles, let's ask for God's blessing. Dear Lord, please bless this reading and your word to me and to those who are following along. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So before we get into the Old Testament, let's go to John's account of the gospel. Beginning in chapter 7, it says, after this, Jesus travelled throughout Galilee. He did not want to travel in Judea because the Jews there were trying to kill him. However, the Jewish Feast of Tabernacles was near, so Jesus' brothers said to him, leave here and go to Judea so that your disciples there may see the works you're doing. For no one who wants to be known publicly acts in secret. Since you are doing these things, show yourself to the world. For even his own brothers did not believe in him. Therefore Jesus told them, although your time is always at hand, my time has not yet come. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me, because I testify that its works are evil. Go up to the feast on your own. I am not going up to this feast, because my time has not yet come. Having said this, Jesus remained in Galilee, but after his brothers had gone up to the feast, he also went, not publicly, but in secret. So the Jews were looking for him at the feast and asking, where is he? Many in the crowds were whispering about him. Some said, he is a good man, but others replied, no, he deceives the people. Yet no one would speak publicly about him for fear of the Jews. About halfway through the feast, Jesus went up to the temple court and began to teach. The Jews were amazed and asked, how did this man attain such learning without having studied? My teaching is not my own. Jesus replied, it comes from him who sent me. If anyone desires to do his will, he will know whether my teaching is from God or whether I speak on my own. He who speaks on his own authority seeks his own glory, but he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is a man of truth. In him there is no falsehood. Has not Moses given you the law? Yet not one of you keeps it. Why are you trying to kill me? You have a demon, the crowd replied. Who was trying to kill you? Jesus answered them, I did one miracle, and you're all amazed. But because Moses gave you circumcision, you circumcise a boy on the Sabbath, not that it is from Moses, but from the patriarchs. If a boy can be circumcised on the Sabbath so that the law of Moses will not be broken, why are you angry with me for making the whole man well on the Sabbath? Stop judging by outward appearances and start judging justly. Then some of the people of Jerusalem began to say, isn't this the man they are trying to kill? Yet here he is speaking publicly, and they are not saying anything to him. Have the rulers truly recognized that this is the Christ? But we know where this man is from. When the Christ comes, no one will know where he is from. Then Jesus, still teaching in the temple courts, cried out, you know me, and you know where I am from. I have not come of my own accord, but he who sent me is true. You do not know him, but I know him, because I am from him, and he sent me. So they tried to seize him, but no one laid a hand on him, because his hour had not yet come. Many in the crowd, however, believed in him and said, when the Christ comes, will he perform more signs than this man? And that's our reading from the Gospel of John. Now let's go back into the Old Testament. 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 1 says, then Samuel said to all Israel, I have listened to your voice and all that you have said to me, and I have set over you a king. Now here is the king walking before you. And I am old and grey, and my sons are here with you. I have walked before you from my youth until this day. Here I am. Bear witness against me before the Lord and before his anointed. Whose ox or donkey have I taken? Whom have I cheated or oppressed? From whose hand have I accepted a bribe and closed my eyes? Tell me, and I'll restore it to you. You have not wronged us or oppressed us, they replied, nor have you taken anything from the hand of man. Samuel said to them, The Lord is a witness against you, and his anointed is a witness today, that you have not found anything in my hand. He is a witness, they replied. Then Samuel said to the people, The Lord is the one who appointed Moses and Aaron, and who brought your fathers up out of the land of Egypt. Now present yourselves so that I may confront you before the Lord with all the righteous acts he has done for you and your fathers. When Jacob went to Egypt, your fathers cried out to the Lord, and he sent them Moses and Aaron, who brought your fathers out of Egypt and settled them in this place. But they forgot the Lord their God, and he sold them into the hand of Sisera, the commander of the army of Hazor, and into the hands of the Philistines and the king of Moab, who fought against them. Then they cried out to the Lord and said, We have sinned, for we have forsaken the Lord and served the Baals and Ashtoreths. Now deliver us from the hands of our enemies, that we may serve you. So the Lord sent Jerubbaal, Barak, Jephthah, and Samuel, and he delivered you from the hands of your enemies on every side, and you dwelt securely. But when you saw that Nahash, king of the Ammonites, was moving against you, you said to me, No, we must have a king to rule over us, even though the Lord your God was your king. Now here is the king you have chosen, the one you requested. Behold, the Lord has placed a king over you. If you fear the Lord and serve him and obey his voice, and if you do not rebel against the command of the Lord, and if both you and the king who reigns over you follow the Lord your God, then all will be well. But if you disobey the Lord and rebel against his command, then the hand of the Lord will be against you as it was against your fathers. Now therefore, stand and see this great thing that the Lord will do before your eyes. Is it not the wheat harvest today? I'll call on the Lord to send thunder and rain, so that you'll know and see what a great evil you have committed in the sight of the Lord by asking for a king. So Samuel called to the Lord, and on that day the Lord sent thunder and rain. As a result, all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. They pleaded with Samuel, Pray to the Lord your God for your servant, so that we will not die, for we have added to all our sins the evil of asking for a king. Do not be afraid, Samuel replied. Even though you have committed all this evil, do not turn aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. Do not turn aside after worthless things that cannot profit you or deliver you, for they are empty. Indeed, for the sake of his great name, the Lord will not abandon his people because he was pleased to make you his own. As for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you, and I will continue to teach you the good and right way. Above all, fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart. Consider what great things he has done for you. But if you persist in doing evil, both you and your king will be swept away. Now chapter 13 starts by saying, Saul was 30 years old when he became king, and he reigned over Israel 42 years. He chose for himself 3,000 men of Israel, 2,000 were with Saul at Michmash and in the hill country of Bethel, and 1,000 were with Jonathan and Gibeah of Benjamin, and the rest of the troops he sent away, each to his own home. Then Jonathan attacked the Philistine outpost at Jabbah, and the Philistines heard about it. So Saul blew the ram's horn throughout the land, saying, Let the Hebrews hear. And all Israel heard the news. Saul has attacked an outpost of the Philistines, and now Israel has become a stench to the Philistines. Then the people were summoned to join Saul at Gilgal. Now, the Philistines assembled to fight against Israel with 3,000 chariots, 6,000 horsemen, and troops as numerous as the sand on the seashore. They went up and camped at Michmash, east of Beth-Aven. Seeing that they were in danger because their troops were hard-pressed, the men of Israel hid in caves and thickets, among the rocks and in cellars and cisterns. Some Hebrews even crossed the Jordan into the land of Gad and Gilead. Saul, however, remained at Gilgal, and all his troops were quaking in fear. And Saul went 7 days for the time appointed by Samuel, but Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and the troops began to desert Saul. So he said, "Bring me the burnt offering and the peace offerings." And he offered up the burnt offering. Just as he finished offering the burnt offering, Samuel arrived, and Saul went out to greet him. "What have you done?" Samuel asked. And Saul replied, "When I saw that the troops were deserting me, and that you did not come at the appointed time, and the Philistines were gathering at Michmash, I thought, now the Philistines will descend upon me at Gilgal, and I have not sought the favor of the Lord. So I felt compelled to offer the burnt offering." "You have acted foolishly," Samuel declared. "You have not kept the command that the Lord your God gave you. If you had, the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel for all time. But now your kingdom will not endure. The Lord has sought a man after his own heart and appointed him ruler over his people because you have not kept the command of the Lord." Then Samuel set out from Gilgal and went up to Gibeah and Benjamin. And Saul numbered the troops who were with him, about 600 men. Now, Saul and Jonathan, his son, and the troops with them were staying in Geba of Benjamin, while the Philistines camped at Michmash. And raiders went out of the Philistine camp in three divisions, one headed toward Ophrah in the land of Shual, another toward Beth Horon, and the third down the border road overlooking the valley of Zeboim, facing the wilderness. And no blacksmith could be found in all the land of Israel, because the Philistines had said, "The Hebrews must not be allowed to make swords or spears." Instead, all the Israelites would go down to the Philistines to sharpen their plowshares, mattocks, axes, and sickles. The charge was a pim for sharpening a plowshare or mattock, a third of a shekel for sharpening a pitchfork or an axe, and a third of a shekel for repointing an ox goad. So on the day of battle, not a sword or spear could be found in the hands of the troops with Saul and Jonathan. Only Saul and his son Jonathan had weapons. And the garrison of the Philistines had gone out to the pass at Michmash. All right, that's our reading from 1 Samuel. Now let's go to the book of Psalms. We'll read Psalm 108 today. We'll begin there. Psalm 108 is a song. It's a psalm of David. And it says, "My heart is steadfast, O God. I will sing and make music with all my being. Awake, O harp and lyre. I will awaken the dawn. I'll praise you, O Lord, among the nations. I will sing your praises among the peoples. For your loving devotion extends beyond the heavens, and your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens, may your glory cover all the earth. Remember and save us with your right hand, that your beloved may be delivered. God has spoken from his sanctuary. I will triumph. I will parcel out Shechem and apportion the valley of Succoth. Gilead is mine, and Manasseh is mine. Ephraim is my helmet. Judah is my scepter. Moab is my washbasin. Upon Edom I toss my sandal. Over Philistia I shout in triumph. Who will bring me to the fortified city? Who will lead me to Edom? Have you not rejected us, O God? Will you no longer march out, O God, with our enemies? Give us aid against the enemy, for the help of man is worthless. With God we will perform with valor, and he will trample our enemies." All right, now let's go to the book of Proverbs, chapter 15, verse 4. It says, "A soothing tongue is a tree of life, but a perverse tongue crushes the spirit." A soothing tongue is a tree of life, but a perverse tongue crushes the spirit. And with that being read, we've finished today's Bible reading. So tune in tomorrow, May the 13th, as we continue in the fifth month of our one-year Bible reading plan. We're almost halfway through the year. How time flies, as they say. So God bless you and make his face shine upon you. Have a great day if you're listening to this in the morning. A peaceful night's sleep if you're listening to this in the evening. And as usual, as we close, we pray. Come soon, Lord Jesus. Amen.